नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Summum Bonum, Chapter 20, the rainy season and the autumn season in Vrindavan, text 42 and 43. Text 42. शारात् आर्कं सुजंस्तापं भूतनं उदुपोहरत् देहभीमानजं बोधो मुकुंदो ब्रजजोषितम्। Translation: The autumn moon relieve all creatures of the suffering caused by the sun's rays. Just as wisdom relieves a person of the misery caused by his identifying with his material body, and as Lord Mukunda relieved Vrindavan's ladies of the distress caused by their separation from him. Text number 43. Kham ashobhata nirmegham Sharad bimalatarakam Satva yuktam yatha chittam Shabda brahmartha darshanam Kam ashobhata nirmegham Sharad bimalatarakam Satva Tvayuktan chata chittam Shabda brahmartha darshanam Kam ashobhata nirmegham Sharad bimalatarakam Sattvayuktan yatha chittam Sada brahmartha darshanam. Please chant. Kham, the sky, ashobhata, shone brilliantly, nirmegham, free from clouds, sarat, in the fall, bimala, clear, tarakam, and starry, sattvam yuktam, endowed with a spiritual goodness, yatha, just as chitam, the mind, shabda brahma of the Vedic scriptures, artha, the purport, darshanam, with directly experiences. Which directly experiences? Yes. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Free of clouds and filled with clearly visible stars, the atom sky shone brilliantly. Just like the spiritual consciousness of one who has directly experienced the purport of the Vedic scriptures. Purport. The clear and starry autumn sky can also be compared to the pure heart of the devotee. The spiritual nature is always brilliant, clean, and blissful. And this spiritual nature, called Vaikuntha, immediately satisfied all the desires of the soul. This is the secret of Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yenatasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Kutale Srimate Ramapada Swami Iti Namne. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Kutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavati Pashatya Adeshatarine Pancha Kalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. The Acharyas compare or make this connection that the sky in this comparison, or how you say this, this is an allegory? Analogy? This is an analogy. In this analogy, that the atom sky, you can see all the luminaries, including the moon, very, very perfectly, is compared to the pure heart of a devotee. And sometimes when you go into the country, when there is, you know, there's no pollution and no urban disturbances like that, one can actually experience the sky and all the stars and the perfect shiny moon. And you can see everything. It's very clear. And it's a very amazing, beautiful experience when you're able to see the sky like that. In general, it's difficult in just places that are polluted by the human mortal passion and ignorance. Somehow or other, you cannot see many of the stars. If you go at night, say here in Chicago, it's very rare that you see the stars. And when you see the stars, you just see few of them. It's a very different experience when you have, you know, this very clean, perfect sky, and you see this amazing display of luminaries in the sky. All these stars and the moon. It's quite striking. Does everybody had that experience of seeing the sky like that? Yeah. It's quite something, no? So, Srila Sukadev Goswami makes this analogy that the sky that is experienced during the autumn season, the sky is compared, our acharyas tell us, is compared to the heart. And the elements that covers these luminaries and the moon is including among the stars. Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita, that among the stars, he is the moon. Nakshatranam aham shashi. In the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that among the stars is the moon. Or he say among the luminaries of the stars, he is the moon. So the moon is the king of all the stars. That also explains the Vedic the astronomy of the Vedas, that that the stars in modern society, in modern common knowledge, it is thought that every star is a sun, right? That every star it represents a sun with their own solar system, like that. But that's a mistaken idea. According to the Vedas, every star is like a moon. And the sun is only one in the universe. It's only one sun. And that's the one that actually sort of illuminates the whole universe. And then the stars and the moon, they reflect the light of the sun. And among all the stars that are like moons, then there is this chief luminary that is the moon planet. So so the elements that covers this moon, these luminaries, are the clouds. And the clouds are compared to the modes of ignorance and passion. So when these clouds are dissipated in the autumn season, then the clouds, in the rainy season, everything is covered by clouds. But in the autumn, everything becomes clear. So these clouds are compared to the modes of passion and ignorance. So when these clouds of ignorance and passions becomes dissipated from the heart of the devotee, then the mode of goodness is established, this sattva. It is mentioned in the verse, sattva yuktam. So the devotee becomes established in the mode of goodness, and in the mode of goodness, then one starts to experience this enlightenment, or this way of being able to see, you know, not only that chief luminary that represents Krishna, this Naraktam Hamsashi, but also all the different energies and the connectivity that is there in that space. Srila Sutta Goswami, in the famous second chapter of the first canto, he refers to that right after Shimbatan Sukata Krishna Nasta Praesha Badrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaja Bhagavati Utameshloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So he says, by the process of serving, of hearing, or constantly hearing daily hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam and serving the devotee, the Bhagavata devotee. By this connection, then all these unwanted things within the heart becomes dissipated. And then one's become established unequivocally in devotional service to the Lord. And then he says, what happens? How is that? What is happening when one starts to establish, when one starts to become situated in devotional service, and these unwanted things by the process of hearing and chanting becomes dissipated? Then tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobhadayas chaye. That the modes of rajas and tama, ignorance and passions, becomes dissipated. And then the symptoms of rajas and tamas is kama lobhadayas chaye. That lust, greed, anger, desire, hankering, all these things goes away from the heart of the devotee. And the devotee becomes stitan sattva prasidati, becomes fully established in the mode of goodness. And then what happens in the mode of goodness? Then Srila Sutta Goswami says, evam prasana manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, a man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. So that space of perfect consciousness in which one becomes fully cognizant, fully knowledgeable, illuminated by knowledge, then everything is clear. So it's compared to that clear skies. Everything is perfectly clear. That is the heart, the pure heart of the devotee. There's another very nice verse that this is Parikshit Maharaj in the second canto, that he goes a little, you know, he takes another perspective of this process of purification and what happens in the heart. When he starts to ask the questions to Srila Sukadev Goswami, then he praises and he appreciates this opportunity that he has to hear the messages of Godhead from Srila Sukadev Goswami. And Parikshit Maharaj says this, Pravishta Karna Randrena, this is the second canto, chapter 8, text number 5. Pravishta Karna Randrena Swanam Bhava Saroruham Dunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasya Jata Sharat. So we're talking about Sarat also here, which is the autumn season. So he say, the sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, i.e. Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of the self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus he acts like the autumn rains upon the pools of muddy water. So the Acharyas also explains, you know, about this analogy that this process of purification that allows to purify the heart. And when the heart becomes purified, then there is explanation that this lotus flower that is compared to our relationship with Krishna. So the natural devotion of the soul is compared to a lotus flower. And so this lotus flower blooms within the heart of the devotee, and everything is cleansed. Just like the atom, in this case, the atom rains upon the pools of muddy water, cleanses the body of water. So the acharyas tell us that previous to the autumn season is the rainy season, and during the rainy season, because of the heavy rain, all the water bodies, rivers and lakes, became very agitated, and with the agitation, it's all this mud, and it becomes all like muddy like that. At the end of the rainy season, then when there is this very gentle sprinkles of rain in the atom, then that settles the mud, the muddy water, the sediment, and then that sediment gets cleansed. And the water becomes very, very clean and perfect. So everything becomes like very beautiful and bright, just like the descriptions that we're reading right now. So that cleansing, happens. Everything becomes dispersed. And it is explained the power of this process of Shravanam Kirtanam, this devotional service to the Lord that establishes loving devotion within the heart of the devotee, is the only means to destroy all these muddy stuff. Like dirty stuff. Other process won't do that. It's explained that nishkam karma or jnana or yoga, tapasya, all these different processes of transcendental, it's like it does cleanse, but it's a is like a mechanical process. Prabhupada says like when you put you can cleanse a small body of water with some chemical, and then that also allows the sediment to settle. But if some little agitation happens, otherwise the sediment again goes up, and covers the whole thing. But the process of bhakti eliminates completely all that stuff. So there is no more coming back to that. Krishna also, Lord Chaitanya, also explains in his beautiful Shikshastaka prayers that this analogy of the moon and the lotus from within the heart Shreya Chaitava Shreya Kairava Chandrika Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. That by the chanting of the holy name, this Chandra means the moon, and Chandrika means the rays of the moon. And Vitaranam, so Shreya Kairava Chandrika, Vitaranam means the means to actually bring or dissipate the rays of the moons. And then Lord Chaitanya compares that means to bring this light of the moon to bring the rays of the moon is the chanting of the holy names, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So by the chanting of the holy names, this moonshine brings what? Shreya, this ultimate, sustainable auspiciousness, goodness, Shreya. And then what happens with this fortune that is brought, you know, by the moons of the shining rays of the moon? This Kairava, which is a special lotus flowers. In general, the lotus flowers, they open under the rays of the sun. There's another name for the sun that is Padma Bandhu. The sun is called Padma Bandhu, which is the friend of the lotus. Because, you know, regular lotus, they open with the sun. But this Kairava lotus opens by the rays of the full moon. So that lotus is compared to our loving relationship with Krishna. So that opens by the fortunate rays, you know, that great fortune opens by the rays of the shining moon of the holy name. So in the previous verse, this analogy of the moon is very beautiful too. What the moon does to the devotees and to people in general. They say the atom moon relieve all creatures of the suffering caused by the sun rays. Just as wisdom relieve person of the misery caused by his identify with his material body, and as Lord Mukunda relieved Vrindavan's ladies of the distress caused by their separation from him. So, Krishna is compared to the moon. And it is explained that the moon, the illuminating power of the moon is very soothing. Krishna is also compared to the sun because as the sun darkness is dissipated, so Krishna dissipates. By when there is Krishna, Krishna is like a sun, that the ignorance, the darkness of ignorance is dissipated. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is a famous verse. Krishna Surya Nama Majahaya Majahoy Ahankara Yatan Krishna Tahan Nahi Majar Adhikar. Krishna is compared to the sunshine and Maya is compared to darkness. Whenever there is sunshine, there cannot be darkness. As soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness the darkness of illusion, the influence of the external energy will immediately vanish. So, Krishna is like the sun because dissipate the light of the sun dissipate darkness. Krishna also is like the moon. It is explained that there's the same illuminating power of the sun is reflected by the moon, but it's very soothing. The illuminating power of the sun is very invigorating, but if you take too much, you can get burned. You have to be, you know, they have to be, there are certain regulations that you have, there are certain arrangements that you have to make. You know, you cannot just like lie down by the sun and toast yourself, you know. It can hurt you. Sometimes that scorching power of Krishna is compared to this Virat Rupa. The Virat Rupa, when Arjuna saw the Virat Rupa, he was very scared. He saw that, you know, his mouth was, you know, fire, and it was basically burning everything. The manifestation of the Virat Rupa, this feature of Krishna, is this powerful energy that is called Kala, or eternal time. And with this feature, he destroys everything. Everything material becomes scorched, finished, burned to ashes by the power of this Virat Rupa. So, for sometimes Lord Nrisimhadev is also compared to the scorching sun, because for demoniac people, Lord Nrisimhadev just burns them. You know, his anger is like fire. So it is explained that for people that are in darkness, in the mode of ignorance, who are covered by the darkness of illusion, the illusion of thinking that I am the bodily conception of life, being afflicted by the bodily conception of life and afflicted by this materialistic consciousness, that space of ignorance, avidya, is a space in which you are in the middle of a fire. It is compared that you are in this raging fire that is scorching you and burning you. This Baba Maha Davakni, this Agni, this Davakni, this forest is compared like a forest fire. So you're in the middle of this scorching situation. Or for people who, there's certain people and certain living entities that can only, that they thrive in darkness. And if you, I don't know if you know, if you take a stone and you see all these crawling creatures that, you know, they live in darkness, and if you take it and you expose them to the light, they freak out. They're sensitive to that. And they immediately try to find, you know, ways out of the light. You know, it's like a, you know, Dracula or something, you know, the vampires, you know, that the light was, you're sensitive to light, you're creatures of darkness. So, so for regular conditioned souls, the light of the sun, the light of knowledge, sometimes is overwhelming. It's very hard to actually move out of darkness. You know, Krishna tells us, sarva dharmam parityaja, and that position for some of us, you know, many of us who are conditioned by this material, by this bodily conception, is like, when that's going to happen, it's almost like an impossibility. That you give up your material involvement and simply surrender to Krishna and be situated in that space. It's not easy, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to actually function like that. Because we are, you know, those of us who are very much caught in this materialistic way of life, is very difficult to break through. We're not, you know, we're conditioned. So sometimes the process of devotional service burns, you know, it hurts because of the attachments that are there. So it's difficult for materialistic people. Therefore, Krishna has this arrangement. He has designed this arrangement of doing things very, very gradually. It takes lifetimes of gradual elevation, you know, in which he makes all these provisions for people to, you know, elevate themselves gradually by dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. You know, all these things are taken into consideration. The whole process of karmakanda is there to gradually elevate people, because it's very difficult to come to that understanding. It burns. But Krishna is compared to a moon. Vrindavan Chandra, Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna is like a moon. It's very soothing. The illumination is very soothing. It's very gentle, and it's very kind. So Vrindavan Krishna, if we able to enter into this relationship with Krishna, Krishna is very gentle and very kind. That's his nature. So for the devotees in Vrindavan, Krishna also relieved them like the moon, the light of the moon, because he's very gentle and soothing. There is a beautiful poetry, this very nice song that is sung by the Vaishnavas, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Bhaja Krishna Nidim Braja Raja Sutam. Sometimes we hear Navanirida Nindita Kantidaram Rasa Sagara Nagara Bhupaparam. Bhaja Krishna Nidim Braja Raja Sutan. And there is a one line that says, Mukha Chandra Vinindita Koti Bidun, which means a million of full moons cannot match Krishna's beauty, Krishna's face, Mukha means his face. This Chandra Vinindita Koti. Chandra Koti means millions of moons cannot compare to the beauty of his moonlight face. So Krishna is known in Vrindavan as Vrindavan Chandra, the moon of Vrindavan. So the relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan is very, very soothing, very gentle. But the thing is to come to that position, to enter in the position, to be able to access that relationship with Vrindavan Krishna. And Srila Naradhan Das Thakur gives us the key by also telling us about this moon-like, you know, using the moon. But this time is approaching the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, that is compared to millions of moons. Nittai pada kamalan koti chandra. This word again, in the previous one was chandra koti. Chandra vininta koti. This one is Koti Chandra Sushitala. Nitaipada Kamalam Koti Chandra Sushitala. Je chajai jagata jurai. Je jakchayai jagata jurai. Je chajai jagata jurai. Hino bine, hino nitai bine bhai. Radha Krishna paitenai. So that the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are the shelter where one will get the soothing moonlight, not only of one, but of millions of moons. So the devotee, Lord Nityananda, is the personality of Godhead in the mood of a devotee. So he is devoted to Lord Chaitanya. So he's explained that unless one takes shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda that are as soothing as millions of moons, then Heno Nitai Bine Bhai Radha Krishna Paitenai, we cannot enter or access the devotional service to Radha and Krishna. So through the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, to that shining moon of Lord Nityananda's lotus feet, that is as brilliant as millions of moons, then we can come in contact, we can enter into the relationship with Vrindavan Krishna. So the devotees reflect the shining, the brilliance of the sun of Krishna, and is able to illuminate us, inhabitants of Kali Yuga, that for us, we need something soothing. We need illumination that doesn't scorch us. We need illumination that is gentle. And that illumination is provided by the moonlights. And among all these moons, you know, like remember the stars are like moons, then there's this chief moon, and that's Lord Gaurachandra, Lord Chaitanya, the golden moon that has arisen in the darkness of Kali Yuga, there is explained. Gaurachandra means the golden moon. And Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj say he prays to Lord Chaitanya and to Lord Chaitanya's devotees like that. He say, Jaya Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandrera Bhakta Chandragan Sabara Prema Yosnaya Ujjwala Tribhuvan. Tribhuvan. All glories to the moons who are the devotees of the principal moon, Lord Chaitanya Chandra. The bright moonshine illuminates the entire universe. So, Chandragana means all the devotees that are like many moons, but then there's this principal moon that is Lord Chaitanya. And by Lord Chaitanya's grace, by Lord Chaitanya's kindness, Mahavadanyaya, this perfect illumination is available to people of Kali Yuga that are accustomed to live in darkness and therefore are very too sensitive to the scorching light of the sun. So we can still be illuminated by the full moon, the golden moon of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya's devotees, and enter into this beautiful relationship with the Lord Vrindavan Chandra, Krishna, in which that beautiful lotus from within the heart opens in that perfect relationship with Krishna. I stop here. Any comments or questions?
Thank you for the very enlightening class. I like the part when you're talking about how, like you can bring the muddy waters, right? And then how that waters clears away similarly in the same way that once we are clear from our material contamination, we can be brilliant and see the soul within and see Krishna. And it was interesting how you could relate that to the three modes, material nature as well, that everyone has free will to choose as they like, but once they choose a particular type of mode of energy, it pretty much dictates their nature.
Hmm.
So, you know, if someone, they may be actually very intelligent, they may have the ability to understand certain things, but if they're practicing activities, their mode of kind of passion and ignorance, even if you, on a just on an intellectual level, try to explain to someone that, you know, you should, you know, be vegetarian, or you should, you know, keep clean, or do these type of things, they may understand you, but they may reject it because they're in a particular mode that kind of dictates that nature. So it's interesting in the sense that in order to, you know, ultimately Krishna consciousness is beyond the modes and it's transcendental. And but for a lot of people, they have to kind of at least cultivate to the mood of goodness so they can actually truly understand Krishna consciousness, which said that the mode of goodness is like a springboard to transcendence.
Yeah.
So we can see many of our Indian friends, they kind of come from similarly of Vedic cultures, so they tend to be kind of a mode of goodness, so it's kind of easy to take for them to take to Krishna consciousness. Whereas you may see many other Westerners, even though they may have the ability of intelligence, it's hard for them because they're stuck in a particular mode. So I always thought, for me, when I really understood the three modes of material nature, that's like direct proof of like how they, one of the direct proofs of the validity of Bhagavad Gita or the Vedic teachings, because you can directly experience that. I know even for myself, when I'm in the mode of, say, ignorance or passion, it's hard to, like, I have more of a struggle with Krishna consciousness. Whereas when I try to cultivate the activities of, you know, cleanliness, of mercifulness, or forgiveness, of developing knowledge, austerity, things of this nature, it's actually a lot easier to take to Krishna consciousness.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing, no? And that's why part of our the process is for us to come to the mode of goodness. As you say, it's a springboard. It's not the thing, but it's a springboard to it. And the fact is, in the mode of goodness, then as you start to be established in the process of devotional service, then you start to become like the moon, or like you know, you start to reflect that light and illuminate. So before that, if we're still afflicted by the mode of passion and ignorance, you know, you're still performing devotional service, sometimes we find ourselves that we're not necessarily able to transform, you know, you don't have that capacity of advanced devotees to transform people just by that moment of association. And even if you say the same things, it doesn't have the same effect. You can say exactly the same thing. Like say, Vaisheshika Prabhu, give us, you know, some line that you tell the persons in the street to give in a book. So you can say exactly the same thing, and you can go through the same thing, you know, the wave and then the smile and then, you know, like the connection and the whole thing. And somehow or other, the persons, you don't break through the molds. But then you have this, he does the same thing and still magically he breaks through the molds and connects to the soul. So so it means that we still, you know, you have to be in that position of reflecting light, because the mode of passion, sometimes we have, I find you know, you're trying to explain something. In the mode of passion is, you know, you need the result. So the result is, you know, I need to convince you that, you know, you're going to hell, basically, you know. Trying to do it in a gentle, you know, even if you try to do it in a gentle way, that sort of looking for a result, that's the mode of passion. And sometimes it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't have a sustainable sort of transformation connection. And we learn, you know, and we start to cultivate the mode of goodness. You capture yourself, you're able, you know, Sankirtan is very powerful because it allows you to see, experience very, you have to change your approach. You have to, you know, connect to the, to that, you know, Shreya Kairava Chandrika business, you know, the shining rays of the, you know, benediction moon. You have to tap into that to be able to properly do it. So, you know, you're constantly thinking on that and trying to connect and praying. And then it becomes, you know, transformational, but not because of you, it's because you're, you know, so it's quite something to the experience of that, the modes, you know, the settling of these modes, the cleansing, the whole thing. That's why, you know, it's the perfection of religion. What is it? Rajavidya Rajakuhyan Pavitran Idang Uttaman. What's the next line? Pavitran Idang Uttaman Pratyaksham Dharmas. How's it go? So Pratyaksham, something Dharma, you know, is the perfection of religions because it's experiential. We actually experience. So it's pretty amazing. Yeah. Thank you for your comment.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Man, all your points are really, I'm going to really have to edit down my comments because you made a lot of profound points, a lot of brilliant points. So thank you for that class. That was a really nice class and all the points. And I guess go to your latest point. You were answering his question regarding, we could say the same thing, but not have the same, it doesn't transform people's hearts. So me and Bhakta Joshua kind of mentioned in this point yesterday about this last verse says, Shabda Brahmartha Darshanam. When one follows the Vedic scriptures, one can see things as they are, essentially. And in an introduction of Prabhupada's Ishopanishad, he mentions this phrase similar, Shabda Praman, same thing. Praman means the evidence. The Vedic scriptures are the evidence. And we see that sometimes the obstacle in our relationship with the devotees is two things. One devotee could extensively quote from the scriptures, and one can't. But we see that in so many pastimes, like in chapter 7, verse 3 of the Gita, Prabhupada quotes a verse from Rupa Goswami, Shruti Shruti Panana Adi Panchadachi Vidimvina Aikantiki Hadir Bhaktir Upatayaiva Kalpate. Devotional service that ignores the scriptures, Shruti Shruti Panana, the Puranas, is simply a disturbance. But on the other hand, we see in the pastime, Lord Chaitanya, regarding the illiterate Brahmana, he told the illiterate Brahmana, he says, although the proud scholars have the praman, the information on the outside, you're an authority on the Gita because you have the prema, the transformation on the inside, premanjana, charita, bhati, vilochanena, etc. When we have prema within our hearts, then we can see things as they are. When we don't have prema, the Gita says is, when we become angry, we can't remember any praman. The only thing we can remember is curse words. Curse people out. No praman. So if there's no prima, then there's no praman. And so this is regarding your point. You made a very profound point that Krishna's the moon, his devotees are like the moon, and other people are like the stars. So and there's a book called Sri Chanakya Niti. In chapter 4, verse 6 of that book, I was just reading it this morning, Chanakya Pandit, Prabhupada Wawi's quote, he says, The moon, although one, can dispel the darkness, which the stars, though numerous, cannot. Similarly, a single person with good qualities is better than numerous people without them. And so that's what Lord Chaitanya told the leader of Brahma. You are the moon. You are an authority on the Gita because you are a modest moon. The proud scholars, they're not. Why? Because they're arrogant all-stars. They think they know, they have the praman, but no primas. So my question is that we see how can we harmonize reading and explaining the scriptures and still having good relationships with devotees who are not? Because that sometimes we see that's the tendency. Oh, Prabhu, you can't quote the scriptures. You don't see things as they are. You're going against the acharyas. You know, I could see things as they are. But we see in one last point in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, Madhya chapter 21, Lord Chaitanya blasted Devananda Pandit. He was a proud scholar given the Srimad Bhagavatam class. And so one day, Srivas Thakur entered his class, and he was crying in Krishna Prema in his class, making so much noise, laughing, crying. He was like, this man is getting on my nerve. He couldn't remember any praman. So Lord Chaitanya says in his pastime, anyone who thinks they know the Srimad Bhagavatam does not know the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we see that when there was no prema, he couldn't remember any verses. So he had his students literally throw Srivas Thakur outside the Bhagavatam. And so he says, anyone who thinks they know the Srimad Bhagavatam does not know the Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though you've recited the Srimad Bhagavatam for many lifetimes, it's not giving you any satisfaction because you have no prema within your heart. You're offending the devotees. So my question is, how can we harmonize our relationships, generally speaking, you know, for those who quote the scriptures and those who don't? Because we see that doesn't make you an authority. That doesn't mean you see things as they are. But my question is, what does make a person see things? How can we harmonize? I don't know if my question was clear, but maybe you could harmonize.
Well, that is taking the premise that one becomes agitated by sort of misunderstandings or disagreements, or so, you know, one makes distinctions of, okay, here's a person who doesn't know and I'm a person who knows, all that type of that space in which, you know, one is taking certain position and making judgments. That's a position of a neophyte, a position of someone who has dissipated passion and ignorance, who is in the mode of goodness, is someone who can see clear. So you can see someone that is pure, regardless of, you know, if he's very educated or not, or if you have this or you have that quality or this quality, the purity of heart is what you're able to recognize. It takes one to see one like that. So in the position of neophyte, we have no capacity of discrimination. We don't know, you know, who is a devotee and who's not. So it's a position of being not very mature in Krishna consciousness. So what should we do? How should we harmonize? You know, Prabhupada always say we have to continue the process and, you know, elevate ourselves to the position of goodness in which we can actually see. So for now, well, okay, but in the position of passion and ignorance, I cannot see. So, you know, if I cannot see, I think everything I am. And this is what it is. Then the idea is we are dependent in association with people who are in that level. That's always a recommendation. That we must associate with advanced devotees. And by the association of advanced devotees, you start to understand, oh my God, I am very down there, you know? So we should have that type of association. We're depending on that. Thank you so much. Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.